meditation is a very simple attitude. But strangely enough, one can speak a lot about it. It seems that for most of us, we are not so simple. Therefore, we need to speak about meditation, not so much just to explain the simplicity of it, but also to point out all the complex way that sometimes we are interfering with a process which is very simple. One of my teachers used to say, if you are sitting and you know that you are sitting, that is meditation. Not trying to do anything extra or anything more. While it may happen that when we are sitting, it is not so simple, although we may wish for just sitting. Now, next time I will just go in the hall and I will be just sitting, and that's the only thing I will be doing, just try to be present. But it may happen that it is not our experience. We come to the hall and we sit, and maybe there is sleepiness, or maybe other type of experience, maybe scatteredness, we are thinking about so many different things, or maybe sadness, boredom, doubt, all those experiences that we may not really look for, we really would not need to call them, we rather just be sitting and just know that we are sitting. Yet it doesn't mean that our intention will be enough to bring this kind of experience. So when sitting, we may undergo many different types of experiences. Tiredness, sleepiness, agitation. And our practice, in a sense, is to come to a state of simplicity where we do not feed anymore all those different states, which are states of confusion. So what are we cultivating when we speak about cultivating meditation or practicing meditation? So what are we, in a sense, what are we trying to do when we say we come to the hall and we will practice meditation? So sitting quietly is one aspect, but what are the other aspects, mental aspect or awareness aspect that we are cultivating when we are practicing meditation? Vipassana tradition come from India, and in India they love classification, so usually there is hundreds of classification about anything. So one classification to explain what is really happening in what we are cultivating when we are cultivating meditation is to express that in seven qualities that we are bringing into our mind, and those seven qualities, when they are in a proper balance, that what may allow wisdom to arise. So seven qualities that we try to bring into some state of balance, and that will allow for wisdom and freedom to arise. So what are those seven qualities that every time we are sitting, we are trying to cultivate? The first quality is mindfulness or awareness. Then there is six quality left. Three are to arouse the meditation or to bring some quality, and three will be to make them stable or to bring some calm in the mind. So three of the three quality to make the meditation arise, experience of meditating arise. It is investigation, it is energy, and rapture. Those three qualities are happening in the mind, or we are cultivating them in a state of balance. Investigation doesn't mean that we will think about our experiences, try to make sense in a logical way, or try to make sense in a philosophical way or psychological way. That is another field of experience, that is another field of exploration, is not what we are trying to cultivate in meditating. So investigation is a quality of mind which is open and doesn't cling to any certainty. If we are certain about some aspect of our experience, if we are certain about some quality of our life, it is not possible for us to discover something new. To discover something new, first there must be a quality of openness, a quality of not knowing for sure what it is, so that we may discover something new. I imagine in science is one very important element. If some scientific are completely sure of what is reality, what is the truth, it's very difficult for them to find something new. But when they can bring doubt and openness to their vision of the world, then suddenly deeper understanding may arise, a deeper way of understanding the world may be experienced. So this quality of investigation, which is in our meditation, is not that we are thinking about, but is rather not clinging, not holding to any certainty about what we are, who we are, and what our experience are. So this openness of mind, that may allow for deeper wisdom to arise. Then that may allow for us to perceive something much deeper. So not clinging to, not holding to any certainty, but being completely open for new discovery. That is a factor of investigation. The second one, the factor of effort, it does require some effort for us when we are meditating to come to the hall. Maybe it's hot and you feel that will be nicer to sleep than to come to the hall. Requires some kind of energy, or maybe one would just start to dream or think about the sea or swimming or whatever. So some energy is required there to know that I like to be back where I am now in my meditation. So it does require for all of us at times some energy, just not to go away, not to dream, but just to come back. So the factor of energy is important, and at time it must be stronger, and at time is much less strong, and when the practice is really unfolding, it's less and less strong. It's like the practice will happen by itself, so less energy will be required. So we have to know which kind of energy to apply when is needed. And when it is not needed, then we don't need to make this effort. That will be just bringing too much agitation if we brought energy when not needed. The third quality of mind that is cultivating in the practice of meditation is rapture. And rapture comes in the sense of joy, which comes from in our practice when we are really present. There is a quality of life, a quality of intimacy, a quality of non-being fragmented, a quality of fullness of our experience, and this quality of fullness of our experience bring interest in our practice. Say, expressing by words doesn't need to be expressed this way. How interesting, how fascinating, how nice. It's this kind of interest in the practice. With a sense of joy, again, one is very well balanced, as a sense of not being scattered, not being fragmented in the fullness of our experience. And that is the element of rapture. Now we have three quality of mind, which brings some calm in the mind. So there is element of calm. When we are not trying anymore in our practice to bring new experiences, when we are not looking for something, trying to change what's happening, then at this time the mind may be calm. There's nothing to be achieved, because to be present can only be in the present. So if we're trying to achieve it, it means that it will be in the future. So when we stop to try to achieve anything, there is an element of calm. So that's this element, this quality, which is developed also. Then the next quality of mind is concentration. concentration means that the mind is not scattered, that it is possible for the mind to stay, or for awareness to be aware of the same type of experience. The awareness of the mind is not running here and there constantly, not having time, so to speak, to develop some element of intimacy with any experience, because mind is running from thought, this thought and that thought, and then some maybe experience bodily sensation, nice, or some pain, and then going somewhere else. When the mind is scattered and moves so fast, there is no element of intimacy, and wisdom cannot really arise in this situation. So the quality which is developed in our practice is concentration. So we have investigation, openness to discover, energy or effort, rapture, interest in what we are doing, then there is calm, then there is concentration, and the last one is equanimity. Equanimity is a very important aspect of our practice. It's a balanced mind which does not, or which stays open, completely open, whatever the situation is. We may imagine that a nice experience is arising, oh, that's nice, or I finish my sitting with a beautiful experience, so I'm really expecting the next sitting, I want to go back. I say, that's nice, it was so nice this morning, I want to go back to my meditation. On the contrary, it was so painful, I had so much pain in my body, I had so difficult emotions, I said, oh no, I don't want to do this next sitting again, or maybe I should still do it, but I don't want to do it. That is a lack of equanimity. Equanimity is a quality of mind which can stay open to life, whatever the situation is, not closing from life because the situation is difficult. So not only in complex situation, but every instant in our practice will need this quality of equanimity. Something is arising, some pain, some painful bodily sensation arising, so we may feel the tendency to close in or to try to get away. That is a lack of equanimity. Equanimity will just be able to receive that, because what is essential in the practice of meditation is not the type of experience that we are having. That is not important. It is the quality of our experiencing. It is the quality of our awareness, that what is important. And it is in the quality of awareness that wisdom and freedom may arise, not in the type of experience. If we were to develop type of freedom that will only be here when everything is perfect, so first, it's not so helpful, because it's very rare that everything is perfect. So we'll only be free when the situation, it's very rare that we will be able to experience freedom. The freedom that may be most important and essential to develop is a freedom which is not depending on the situation. When one can feel free or face or be open to any situation, whatever it is. So in our practice, we are not trying to cultivate nice experience, not trying to get rid of bad experiences. On the contrary, we are trying to cultivate a quality of presence, of awareness, whatever the situation is. And this whatever the situation is exactly what equanimity does. Stay open. Our life is more important, awareness is more important than the quality of the experience. I will come back on this aspect of the cultivation in our meditation. Now the seventh is mindfulness or awareness, and that holds everything together. That's the most important, if you wish, element that we are cultivating. So what does it mean to cultivate mindfulness or awareness? Let's say mindfulness. Don't know if awareness we could speak about cultivating it. It is a quality of being present every instant, of being in touch with what's happening in a way that we are not making any judgment, we are not bringing to the experience that we are aware to, we are not bringing any concept, any ideas, any images. Those ideas, images, concepts that we may try to bring to an experience, that will be that which will be preventing from a true intimacy. It will keep us at some distance. If whenever there are some experience arising in our meditation, bodily sensations, emotions, hearing or whatever, and then if some concept arises, you know, nice sound, bad sound, or nice sensation, or whatever, those images and concepts, they are always, they make separation between the experiencer and the experience. When there is this distance, this separation, there is no real intimacy, and there is no room for wisdom to arise, no room for freedom to arise. So we may explore a little bit what does it mean when some experience are arising that we will suddenly make concept about them. Most of our life is organized in making concept, images about our experiences. And maybe we need to do that in order to organize in a practical way our world. But when we want to know deeper, or when we want to experience in a much more subtle way, those images, then they are a veil between the experience and the experiencer. We may have a sense of duration. This day has started this morning, and so we have the sense of duration. And this sense of duration is just held in our mind, it's just an image. Can we experience duration? So let's now, we could close our eyes, let's experience the full day. Now we just experience, for the next 5 minutes, we'll experience the day that just went by. Is it not possible? How long will it take us to experience this day? It will take us one day, not less. Yet we still have the sense of duration, something that we could hold, like if we could have time, sense of having time or not having time. Like if time is something that could have, one could keep, one could have or not have. What's happening when there is experiences, sensual experiences, for example, is hearing something, like this morning, maybe hearing Patricia speaking. So there was a sound of her voice and the hearing of it. Can you hear it now? Let me try. Can you hear Patricia's voice just now? Not possible. You can remember, but you cannot experience it. Can you experience the light which was here this morning? Shadows and light which was here this morning, can you experience it now? It's not possible. We can remember, we cannot experience. We have tried yesterday evening moving one's hand in the past, in the future. We were not so successful. It seemed that we could not move our hand in the past or move our hand in the future. So it's not, of course, not only one hand moving, it's the same for hearing, for seeing, for experiencing a bodily sensation. That only can happen right now, and that's gone. So what we are doing when we believe or we have the sense of duration, that with every experience we make a concept, an image of it, and that what we keep in mind. We keep in mind not the experience. The experience is not possible to keep in mind. What we are keeping in mind is a memory, which is a concept, an image, and that's what we keep in mind. And that's what we can bring back. What we bring back is a memory, the image, not the experience. It's like if we are making some kind of small book with so many pictures, so all our experience, we take pictures. So we have fantastic books with all our experience. And we may spend much of our life looking at our picture book. But that is not life. That is just images, concept of experiences. So the way that we feel time as duration, and we feel that in a sense I am not disconnected, or I could re-experience what I did experience this morning or what I did experience a little while ago, is just because we are transforming every of our experience, we are transforming them into image and concept. And then that what we are bringing back. When we bring that back, if we believe those are really the experience, then there is confusion. If we understand, if we realize that what is brought back is just an image, just a concept, then there is no confusion. But if we understand very clearly that what is brought back is just an image and concept, then it's not fascinating anymore. Let's imagine about good food. If you remember something very, very tasty that you ate, I don't know, in some kind of fancy restaurant, the image, the concept is not really tasty. So no fascination. So if one were to realize every time that we have an image, a concept in mind, that it is just an image, a concept, there would be no fascination. Whatever the subject or the image may be, so the fascination from thought contents, it's always because there's confusion between what they are referring to and the concept themselves. So in our meditation, when we try to make judgment about it, oh, my meditation is good, my meditation is not so good, I'm trying to improve, trying to transform. If we want to improve an experience, at this time, when we try to improve our meditation slightly, at this time we are slipping away from the experience itself to an image of the experience. There is no improvement if we don't first have an evaluation of what's happening. If we were completely satisfied with what is happening, why would we try to improve it? So when we try to improve, it means we are not really happy with what's happening. And then there is also an image, a concept of what we would like to happen. So rather than being just with the experience, the heaviness of any bodily experience, or lightness, or vibration of the experience, suddenly we are in an image of it. And then we don't like that so much. So now we have another image of something much nicer, lighter, a more happy feeling. Then we try now to bring that other experience into our field of experience. So we are not anymore experiencing, we are rather thinking about experiencing. We are not living, we are dreaming our life. So whenever in our practice there is a tendency to improve or to transform, it means that we have gone away from the experience to an image of the experience. And that where the lack of equanimity plays a big role, when there is no equanimity, openness to what is happening, there's a judgment, and the judgment, evaluation of something better that should happen, then we are just dreaming about experiencing. And some of us may live our life completely this way. Maybe dying at 80 or 100 years old, having dreams one's life, but never really experience it. My quality of mindfulness or quality of awareness, which is even more, maybe more subtle to understand, that this quality of experiencing, when there is a fullness of experiencing, there is no distanciation between an experiencer and an experiencing. There is a fullness of the experience. Nothing is outside of the experience. At this time, there is nothing which could be brought to transform what's happening. Nothing could be brought into the field of our experience to transform what's happening. Because the fullness of our experience is such that nothing is outside of it. I'll try to give you an example. Let's imagine that we are in a river flowing very strongly down. So we are just moving along with the stream. Now, is it possible to hold on to the water to stop? We'll just flow along, we'll flow along. We need something on the bank of the water to if we want to stop. Then maybe if we were trying to, or holding to something, then we may stop. When we are just the experience, there is nothing else than the experience. There is nothing outside of the experience that we could grasp and that we could even bring into our experience. It's quite difficult to understand. When there is a fullness of experiencing, and mindfulness, the fullness of experiencing, there is no element outside of the experience. Therefore, nothing could be brought from outside to transform, to change. Nothing else. There is nothing outside of it. Also, there is no necessity to change it. There is a sense of fullness, a sense of completeness, which make it that nothing is lacking in the experiencing. Nothing is lacking. At this time, therefore, one doesn't feel like bringing anything else. Because there is nothing else, and because there is no lack of anything. So that's what we are cultivating in the simplicity of being present. Not making judgment, not pushing away, not transforming, just in this quality of just experiencing. So we may be aware in our practice any movement toward improvement, towards transformation, that is keeping us away from just experiencing. Even if we were able to improve a little bit. Let's imagine a situation. I'm sitting here and I feel some pain in my back. So that's a very nice experience. So I know that I move very slightly. Oh, that's fine. Oh, it's much better. I don't feel pain at least for this short time. So I've improved my experience. It went from pain to less pain, or even to a nice feeling of just a flow of energy. So I may find I may be a good meditator. I'm so skillful. Every time something is arising, I just shift, and that's fine. I'm so skillful that now some element of emotion arise, and then again I will just push it away, and then maybe I find my way. If I were to do that, and being very skillful, so there will be some small benefit. There will be a feeling of more ease. But that will be at the cost of completeness. That will be at the cost of the fullness of living. That will be at the cost of completeness. So for a very small benefit, I would be sacrificing the completeness, a sense of limitlessness. So let's be aware and not try to go for very small benefit at the cost of much deeper and vaster experience. So maybe a smart meditator is not so smart after all. So not trying to improve, but still really with the quality of whatever one is experiencing. That's also why in our instruction, in the way that we are guiding, we don't use so much observe, or this kind of look. It seems that it keeps the meditator at some distance from the experience. You know, observe the way you breathe, or look at the sensation, observe the sensation, that we come to a much bigger intimacy, which is just experiencing. So not at some distance, but to the simplicity of that. And if we spend our time improving, then we spend our time keeping at some distance from the experience. I'll tell you a very small story. When I was traveling in India with Patricia and her mother, I was in a train going from Delhi to Varanasi, and right just after the train, actually in the train station, a woman came and grabbed my hand and asked me where this train was going. So I looked at her particularly she was not in the compartment, and at this time somebody stole my bag, you know. And there was my passport, there was all our air tickets for my mother-in-law, Patricia and I, and so my bag had gone with my camera, and the train left. So I thought, you know, why should I get upset? It's only material stuff, you know, it's just passport and air ticket and money and camera and, you know. So why to get upset? It's only material stuff after all. So it went for about 1 hour where I said, why to get upset, why to get upset, why to get upset. Of course, I was very upset, I was very tense. And finally, I had really to acknowledge that I was very upset. So now I had to deal with something else, not to deal with the loss of the passport and trying to convince myself was nothing, but just accept the feeling of being very upset. It lasted for about 3 minutes and went. But for 1 hour, I tried to avoid it. And that was so painful. When I really tried to face it, okay, I was upset. I had lost my passport, and that was dramatic, and my etiquette, that was dramatic. I was upset, and that was gone. So in our meditation, if we try to avoid what's happening, or try to transform, or, you know, like to convince, like I try to convince myself, it's nothing, just a passport and a ticket. So you may also try to convince yourself, oh, it's just pain in the back, it's just pain in my knee, it's not so important. Then at this time, one is not really in contact, one is avoiding what is the actuality of the experience. And it is not possible for the meditation to unfold if we try to avoid what's happening. So we have no choice what's happening in our meditation. It's not that we will choose to have some nice bodily experience and some nice emotions, and there is some desk. There is a desk at the entrance of the meditation hall where everybody can, you know, you can help yourself with some kind of nice feeling and nice sensation, nice emotions. And, you know, I've got, you know, I should not be too late, so I will have enough of nice experiences. We can't choose, actually. Due to cause and condition and to the state of our life, which is right now, for some of us, life is kind, so to speak, nowadays, and for some of us, it's not so kind. And that's what we will be facing in our meditation. We'll be facing ourselves, we'll be facing what we are. Some people complain in meditation courses that I don't have nice experience. But who fault is that? You know? One is facing exactly what's happening in one's life or in oneself at this time. Now that, as I have mentioned, that's not this. This is not a quality of experience. It's not painful sensation, which will be a mistake in meditation, and nice bodily sensation, which will be a success in meditation, is not that. It's the quality, the fullness of our experiencing, the fullness of our mindfulness, whatever the experience is, that where lies the balance in our meditation. That where lies freedom in our meditation, and that also that which can bring wisdom in our meditation. So it doesn't matter what the experience is. It doesn't matter at all. And I think that we have to hear that, all of us, again, again and again, to really understand truly that it does not matter. Does not matter. The quality of our being there, with the experience, or the experience, that's what matters. And actually that's, I think, very important. If it did matter which type of experience, then the practice of meditation will be hopeless, because no way we can change our experience. But since what matters is the quality of our presence, our mindfulness, our awareness, that can be cultivated. And that's why we can practice meditation. Not to change our experience, but to stay present, aware, whatever the experience is. Good or difficult or painful experiences, it doesn't matter. Now, what are the field of experience that may arise when we are sitting? So traditionally there are different fields that are described as experience may arise. First, the one connected with the body. Bodily sensation, of course, that we may experience while sitting. Fluctuation of bodily sensation due to the movement of respiration. Then some more intense bodily sensation, which sometimes we call pain, surprising, also due to cause and conditions. That one element, that's a type of experience which arises. Then there may be other connected with the body, the hearing of sounds. It's also because we have body, we have ears, so conditions are present, there is hearing happening. We are not concerned with sounds, we are not concerned with which type of car is that, you know. We are concerned with the experience. What is the experience? Is hearing. And in this experience of hearing, all my life is there, consciousness, my presence is there, and just hearing. Not in the sound, not in the car, whatever. So another type of experience, hearing. Another type of seeing. For now's eyes, and light, shape and color, then the seeing is happening. One is not concerned with what is seen, it doesn't matter which color, which form, but the experience of seeing. It means that I'm alive, that I'm aware. A wooden statue, a stone statue doesn't see, so that there is, when the seeing is happening, there is awareness, there is my presence. Same with tasting, or with smelling. And tasting is very important to explore that when we are eating lunch or meal. It's a fantastic way of exploring meditation just by tasting. Tasting the food that we are eating. Just this experience. Again, it does not matter so much, you may try, it doesn't matter so much the taste. But if we could feed a wooden statue, I guess this statue would not experience anything. But it's very strange, we take a spoon or a fork or whatever, and we put some kind of material element, and suddenly in the field of our experience, some experience that we call tasting. Because we are alive, because we are aware. So you may try again. Does it work every time? So you try, take some kind of material stuff there, different colors, you put in your mouth, and an experience is arising that we call tasting. Again, it doesn't matter the taste, but just this experiencing of tasting. A very specific type of knowledge, knowledge of taste. So we have experience connected with the body. That's one field of experience. When we are practicing meditation, then there are experiences. Within each of those experiences, there may be some feeling of being pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So in our meditation, we may also be aware of one experience. How am I experiencing that? Oh, that's rather pleasant. If we may be aware of that, it also brings some sharpness to our way of being present. It brings some sharpness to our mindfulness sometimes when we are aware of the quality of the experience. And it prevents us from reacting too fast, pushing away or clinging to it. So just this feeling aspect of the experience. Now other type of experience is related just to consciousness, maybe thoughts, images, concepts, are just the quality or faculty of knowing. Again, if they were a statue, wooden statue, stone statue, we would not know, we would not be experiencing anything. So we have this fantastic quality which is our life, which is awareness, that we are experiencing. And sometimes the field of our exploration in meditation is just this quality of experiencing, not what we're experiencing. Just this quality of knowing. I was speaking yesterday night about knower, which is not so precise, but if you wish, just this quality of knowing or experiencing. Every instant there is an experiencing, a quality which is within ourselves, which is awareness, and that's our life, every instant. So that's also maybe the field of our meditation, of our exploration. And the fourth one, it's also to know the nature of what we're experiencing. For example, the changing nature of what we're experiencing. Every instant seems to change very fast. So that's a fourth field of our experiencing. So when we are sitting, the practice of vipassana, we need to bring, if you wish, those seven factors or seven qualities into balance. Bring them into balance in our practice by not reacting, by not changing constantly of different field of experience. We bring that into balance. If you wish, that may be expressed in a much more simple way in the practice of vipassana and samatha. Samatha, which is quieting the mind, and vipassana, which is this clear seeing of the true nature of our experience. So what we are doing, how we are cultivating those two aspects, samatha, or the tranquility or the calmness of mind, is we are developing that by coming back always to the same type of experience. When nothing strong is happening, we come back to bodily sensation, for example, or to hearing. If we were not choosing to come back to some field of experience, the mind could be scattered. So for the sake of simplicity, we decide that we come back in a very gentle way just to bodily sensation, heaviness of the movement, different sensation flowing along with the movement of the body due to the breathing. So when nothing specific happens, we come back to that, and that helps to develop concentration, that helps to develop calmness of mind. Now we are not excluding anything. That, let's imagine I may be in my train there and maybe trying to concentrate on my breath, you know. And then this person has stolen my ticket, my bag, everything, and then I try to concentrate. Maybe that will not be what is really strong in my experience. What is strong in my experience is maybe anger. So it will not be skillful this time to try to be aware of my bodily sensation. What is really strong there is emotion, a strong emotion. In our meditation, if something is strong, some experience is stronger, then we open to that experience. We open to that emotion, we open to whatever is happening, not avoiding it. And then if this experience is starting to fade away, then we come back to something much more simple than bodily sensations. By doing that, we may develop the quality of wisdom, we'll see the changing nature, we'll see the true nature of every experience. So balancing that, we are not stuck with only one type of experience. That could be, in some tradition, people are asked to stay, for example, just with a sensation for weeks or months, and that helps to develop concentration, which is fine, perfectly fine. That's just for the sake of concentration. Choosing one field of experience, or they may choose a blue disc, for example, or white disc, and just concentrate on that for weeks or months. That will be a very powerful tool to bring quietness to the mind, but no wisdom. That will not bring wisdom. So in our practice, we try to combine both aspects, vipassana, this clear seeing, and samatha, a calmness. Calmness by coming back to the same field of experience that we choose, maybe to feel the body sensation at the abdomen, at the chest, or for some at the upper lip, that's fine. And when something is strong, we open to that. Trying to keep the same quality of intimacy with each experience, not making judgment, not making concept, evaluation, but just experiencing. And this experiencing, whatever is happening, that the true nature of our experience, the true nature of ourself, would appear very clearly. So it is the way in our practice in which we are balancing those two aspects. Or if you wish, we are balancing those seven aspects, or seven factors of the mind. They are called the seven factors of awakening. So that's what we are cultivating in our meditation. Now it's not necessary then when we are seated that we say, oh, that's concentration, or that calm, that equanimity, and that will be again too complex. But we may know at time that, let's say, if the mind is very scattered, we say, oh, I rather should stay longer just with feeling what's happening at the abdomen or at the chest. Even if some sound arising, you know, and one's mind is too scattered, so one will choose a quieter field or a more simple field of experiencing. or if the mind sometimes become dull or tired, then one says, maybe I will bring some sharpness in the experiencing, so I will be really aware of the body sensation in a much more detailed way, in a much more precise way. That will bring some sharpness. It's just a way of trying to balance all those elements when we feel that some are stronger and some are quite weak. That may happen, and also in the interview, that may be indication sometimes to find some way to balance them. So that was a complex way to speak about something which is simple. So now we may just practice for just 1 or 2 minutes in silence.